Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me for the first time, Nicholas Rodway. He is the president and CEO of Core Asset Corp. It's a new sponsor to the show. It's a company that I've invested in personally and one that is a recommendation in my newsletter. Nick holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in geology from Memorial University in Newfoundland, a master's degree in exploration and mining leadership from Queen's University, and is a member of the Association of Engineers and Geoscientists of British Columbia. He has worked intensively with publicly traded companies for the past 10 years, where he has played strategic roles in company building, financing, investor communications, property acquisitions, and project management. Core Assets is exploring for precious metals and base metals and carbonate replacement and porphyry skarn systems in British Columbia. Given early evidence of very high-grade mineralization along sizable structures, I'm really pleased, personally very excited about this company, and really happy to have Nick with us today. Before I say hello to Nick, I should just mention Core Asset Corp trades in Canada under the symbol CC. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol CCOOF. 77.1 million shares. When I looked at it a little earlier today, it was trading down, as most things are these days. 59 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap, if my arithmetic is good, at about $46 million. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. I've been following you for quite a few years, and it's an honor to finally be on your show. So thank you for that.
Well, the people that should investors should really follow are people like you who are making it happen and finding wealth, creating wealth through exploration and development. So, and I'm really excited about your company, your story. So I'm so happy that you're with me. I understand. So you've got two properties there in northern British Columbia. You've got the Blue property, which, as I understand, is a carbonate replacement system target. That's got copper, silver, lead and zinc in it. There's the Lavadier property that is a copper silver skarn target. Do I have that right?
So basically what it is we have one extremely large land package, and the reason why we have a large land package is because we keep finding new mineralized areas. So what we've done is we've split up our large land package, which is over 1,000 square kilometers, into two projects. So the whole property is called the Blue property. Then within that Blue property, we have the Lavadier project or target, and then we have the Silver Lime project or target. Lavadier is more of a skarn porphyry story, and the Silver Lime area is a brand new discovery, and that's a carbonate replacement style occurrence.
All right, I got it. So Lavadier is really part of the Blue property, and I was thinking there were two separate names. Well, let's talk a little bit then. Maybe first talk about the carbonate replacement system.
What you found there? That is what is getting most people really excited right now. And CRD is the acronym we use for carbonate replacement deposit. Mm-hmm. And what that means is basically you're having a acid rich rock, which would be your ore fluid, which is replacing a more basic rock, and that would be a limestone. So it's actually replacing your carbonate unit. And I've been up there about 20-25 times now, and since 2016 when we initially started looking at the Lavadier project. And my goal basically every time I went up there was to do a little bit of work on Lavadier, and then also try some new ideas and some new things that were based upon desktop studies that I did during the winter months in Vancouver, uh-huh, Canada. So this past season ended up being the most successful, and, you know, it's not often that a plan works out, you know, but we did some work in the area there, and I noticed there was a lot of massive sulfide coming out of the ground in a white, mm-hmm, rock, and that's the carbonate, uh-huh, unit. And the idea of this 2021 season was to just go over the next couple of ridges, and we knew that the glaciers were receding, and we also knew that there was no work ever done in the area due to glacial, mm-hmm, cover. So, it was the best day I ever had in the field, and I just walked over with a partner of mine over the top of the hill, and we could just see the massive sulfide just blatantly in the side of this mountain, and that became the Grizzly Discovery Zone, we call it. And for, mm-hmm, the listeners, just to give an idea of scale, You know, we have a building in Canada called the CN Tower. It's one of the taller buildings in the world. It's about 560 meters in height. And I just tell people that it's basically like a CN Tower on its side, and it's exposed at surface. So it's not very often that you come across something like that these days, you know?
Yeah, and you showed me samples of that carbonate replacement rock when we met up in Vancouver. Really, you know, you handed it to me, and I almost dropped it. It was so heavy. But could you talk about your? Talk a little bit more about the skarn target, silver skarn target.
So both of the projects have exposed skarn on them, and the way I differentiate my skarn from my CRD is, you know, there's more calc silicate minerals in a skarn versus a CRD. A CRD has about 90% metal, so you're talking you know, basically pure metal off the ground. So at the Labrador area, there is a large magnetite copper skarn exposed, and it's for about 500 meters, so it's quite substantial. And that skarn has been drilled actually in the 70s by a company, and they've received some really good values. Actually, you know, there's a 50 meter intercept there of about 1.7% copper, and back then they didn't assay for gold. And there's also I've taken a lot of surface samples in the area, and I'm getting molybdenum and gold as well in my samples, and I get, you know, it's not uncommon to get over 10% copper. So we are thinking that skarn is, you know, it's intrusive related. So it's related to some sort of porphyry source. And the goal at that property is to try to trace that skarn back to a causative porphyry. So we think we have all the ingredients there to find a large porphyry on that project alone. And, you know, that's an exciting target as it is. But then you move over 15 kilometers to the west, where I don't think that these are related exactly, these two occurrences, but you go 15 kilometers to the west, and that's when you start running into these limestone beds. And, and in order to get a carbonate replacement deposit, you got to have limestone, and it needs to be a very favorable unit. And what I mean by that is it needs to have the perfect permeability and porosity in order for these fluids to migrate through it. What separates us from a lot of these larger deposits in the Golden Triangle is that we do have a favorable limestone bed, and that's why we're getting these carbonate replacement occurrences. And we've mapped over 250 of them right now at surface, and it's over an area of about 6.6 by 2 kilometers. So right now, from all the studying I've done about carbonate replacements, it would be the one of the largest in the world, basically, that is exposed at surface. So that's why we're so excited here. And, you know, it's not often that you're part of a project where you're there from the very beginning, and, you know, you can actually go there and pick this metal up off the ground. You know, a lot of the time we're using geophysics trying to, you know, just get a sniff of this type of thing. But no, you can actually go there and you can walk this thing out for 6.5 kilometers, right? So it's quite spectacular.
Well, obviously it's far north in British Columbia, and also you've got the receding snow, the receding ice caps there that now make it visible, and I guess explains why this incredible opportunity wasn't discovered previously.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, you know, as cliche as it is to say, but, you know, we have gone to some other areas now within that, you know, 1,000 square kilometers, and we're seeing the same stuff along this whole belt, which this limestone was not mapped back in the 50s, because it was not exposed. So people didn't know it was there. And at that time, people were looking at vein type deposits in the area. Yeah. Not carbonate replacement, and veins can be typically discontinuous, but our model with carbonate replacement is that if you can find these things at surface, or you can tap into them at depth, then you should be able to trace them back to the porphyry source. That's the whole idea. So it's quite simple, really.
Yeah, amazing scale, amazing, seemingly really high-grade metals, high-grade mineralization. So you're going to be, how soon can you get in there and start drilling? Because I can't wait for you to start drilling this thing out. These different targets should be very exciting. But how soon can you get there? It's far north in BC. And what is the infrastructure like up there?
So we're actually, we've been working the property for the past month right now, because it's the best time to work there is in the winter, because you can get there by snowmobile. It takes about anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes to get down there in snowmobile. So I was up there a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first time I actually traveled down there on a snowmobile, and it was amazing because it's just like a paved road going all the way down there. You know, it's the most cheap way you can basically, you know, it's the cheapest way you can access a property. And it's all thanks to, you know, the thick ice that's on Atlin Lake. So, you know, this is our first, our first drill program. So, you know, it is quite aggressive for a first pass program. But, you know, when you're going into these places for the first time, you're not really sure what you're going to run into. Right. So we didn't want to mobilize too early on this first season. So we're going to be mobilizing the drills in June. It'll be the first week of June. We'll have pad builders up there in the next 2 weeks, basically, building pads. So once we figure out what we're dealing with up there, you know, like we know we got something for sure, but, you know, how much is there and is the grade sufficient? But once we start figuring those things out, then we will be able to have longer seasons, of course. And, you know, we have one drill this year, and, I mean, we're fortunate to have one because there's not many people available anymore.
Right.
Drill
right.
Because it's so busy here, right? But but the accessibility is just it's crazy how easy it is to do it. And until you actually go up there and you experience what I've experienced, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's hard to really understand. But when you can just you know, stay in a hotel and then within 40 minutes you can skidoo snowmobile down to a project that has massive sulfide at surface, that's something spectacular. You know?
Yeah, it certainly would be. And I should just mention that management has a big chunk of the company, so that their incentives are aligned with the shareholders, I think, and I believe also that Crescat Capital is an earlier investor as well.
Yeah,
do I have that right?
Yeah, you got that correct, and that's something else, you know, that adds to this story because the structure of the company is very tight, and believe it or not, you know, 26% is owned by insiders, and if you include Crescat in that as well, it's about 41% owned by you know, friendly hands, and there's only 41 million of the 74 million that are actually in circulation because I've been fortunate enough to be able to do pretty aggressive lockups. So you know, a lot of my stock is locked up, and the last financing we did with Crescat is a year and a half lockup with releases 33.3% released every 6 months. So what I'm trying to do here is just, you know, keep people in here for the long run and, you know, make sure that the hands that are holding the shares are strong hands. And that's how you get your appreciation and stock price. That's how you get your value. And right now that's what we're seeing, you know, in the market. It is thinly traded. And that's because we control the majority of the shares and we plan to continue to control them. And hopefully within, you know, the next 4 to 6 years, we can be, you know, up there with some of the larger companies and then doing, hopefully to do a transaction with a mining company at some point, that would be the, you know, the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah. Well, it would seem as though the possibilities are certainly there. The potential is certainly there, and it's a very exciting story. I know listening to Quentin Henning talk about it on Crescat Gets Active was the first time I was introduced to the story. It's really, really exciting. I know Quentin is very high on it as well. I think this is one our listeners should keep an eye on. What should they be watching out for then? I guess you'll have some news as you start to build the pads and get active up there. But you've done well just telling the story. The stock has performed quite well. Of course, it's gotten hit a little bit now with this pullback in gold and the general equity market. But people should be watching for what? What sort of news should they be looking for?
Yeah, well, I mean, you nailed it about the story, right? Like, it's so exciting, and that's what gets me up in the morning. And just, you know, having skin in the game like I do, it's just, you know, it really gets me going, and I got no problem working all day and night on this thing because I'm pretty passionate about it, and just seeing it from the beginning, you know, and seeing how these things can evolve is just, there's nothing that beats that. But basically, yeah, we will have some news here about some geophysics that we did. We did do a V10 survey, which is a airborne geophysical survey over the whole original property size. And we just had some news that came out in the Labrador area there a week ago or so. And then the next area will be the Silver Lime project. So again, you know, we can see this stuff at surface, right? So it's a little bit different how you use your geophysics when you can already see things at surface. But, you know, once we poke a few holes into these anomalies and the areas that we do see it at surface, we'll have a better idea then of what the geophysics actually means. But those results will be coming out in the next 2 weeks. And then
it's going to be
your normal flow of events, you know, where the drills are mobilized, the drills are turning. And then, you know, we'll probably see the first bit of core coming out of the ground maybe in the first week or second week of June. And then, you know, it's going to take a while to build this thing. You know, it's not going to be easy, right? It's going to take a long time. And especially with turnaround times at the labs and whatnot. You know, we probably won't see our first assay back until, you know, probably the beginning of August. And then with regards to the silver lime discovery area, you know, we probably won't get that back until the fall. But with these type of deposits, the core and the rock is quite spectacular and very visually appealing. So, you know, unlike a gold, disseminated gold deposit, you can tell when you're in the good stuff, basically. So it's going to be the most exciting field season that I've ever taken part of, and I can't wait to get started.
Well, certainly looking forward to it. And yes, I realized that I was going to ask you. I think you can probably get some visual indication, at least you geologists can, about whether you've hit something good or not, even if you don't have the exact numbers. So we'll be certainly watching, Nick. Well, this is going to be a very exciting story, I think, and really glad that you could join us and become a sponsor, and also tell our listeners about this opportunity. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to seeing you in Toronto in June as well. So,
right, exactly. You're going to be with us at the Metals Investor Forum, I believe. So looking forward to that. All right, great. Thanks, Nick.